To the worship service, following the morning service, we invite you for lunch, and trust that you'll enjoy lunch together, and then give you time to go home and get some rest, and then come back this evening at 7 o'clock. I want to remind you that those of you who have sent the church business card to folk, that tomorrow you have to put an extra penny on. The price of postage goes up tomorrow. 1 cent for your first-class letters. You'd have to, instead of 41 cents, it'll be 42 tomorrow. And this postcard, will, instead of being 26, it'll be 27. I thought I'd better tell you that, just in case that you send this to someone for Wednesday night, because we're having Wednesday night. Our brother, again, will be here Wednesday. And if you put something in the mail to somebody that you'd like to hear, have them come and hear Joel, you have to put an extra penny on, or spend an extra penny to send these postal cards. I hope you'll use them. I appreciate what Judy has done to inform us about, inform others about the meetings today and on Wednesday. I was reminded that there's no guest as such here this morning, but I was reminded to tell you that there is a restroom in there, and in the other room there, just in case we have that. I do want to introduce Joel to you, but I'd like to do that before he preaches. And as the Word of God tells us, that Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Matthew 21, verse 9. And so with that opening verse, let us now enter into a worship service by singing some of these hymns. The first one I'd like us to sing, O Thou from whom all goodness flows, is 457. 457.
Good Lord,
Now let's sing The Almighty Power of God. It's number 106. Worship is to be one of praise and the singing of praise. It is also to be a time of reading the Word of God and prayer, and then the expounding of the Word of God. I think we should turn to a section number 10 in this Psalter, selections, the back of the hymnal, which we don't often use, but this morning I'd like to turn to selection 9 on page 613, which is Psalm 22, which is a messianic song speaking of our Lord Jesus. And I think that we need to take a look at the Lord Jesus prophetically in this messianic psalm. And in respect for the Word of God, let's stand and read it responsibly. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them.
They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying,
He trusted on the Lord, and he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.
But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help.
Many fools have come to me, bulls of Bashan have beset me now.
They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion.
I am poured out of my water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in my innermost parts.
My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death.
For the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet.
I may count all my bones, they look and stare upon me.
They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture.
But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me.
Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the wild oxen.
I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of thy creation will I praise thee.
Let's remain standing for prayer. And our Father, as we approach thee this morning, our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be pleased this morning to look upon us as a congregation. And as we've been asking, that you would specially meet with us and your presence by your Holy Spirit, the Holy Guest, and that we may have that which you have for us this morning, and we might see our blessed Lord Jesus in each of us who know the Lord Jesus, that his image might be seen in each of us. We thank you this morning, Father, for the occasion that is ours to have a brother who has given his life for the ministry of spreading the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the areas that have not heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus, the good news, and you have blessed the word. And now our brother comes to minister to us, to challenge us, and to encourage us, and give us missionary further strengthen our missionary hearts, and that we might be in some way an instrument in providing and helping, as that he might be supported and his family. We thank you for Brother Joel Zerpali and his ministry. And our Father, we thank you for how you have led us in the past. And you've privileged us of hearing the gospel. And our Lord Jesus, even as we read of him presently and messianically, the prophecy concerning him, how we thank thee for him and his work at Calvary. Thank you for him, for his work in giving his spirit to instruct us and guide us and comfort us. And we pray for conviction. We pray for convincing of these hearts that have a wayward about them to look upon other things as being more important than that which we have before us even this morning. And so give us ears to hear. And our Father, once again, we are thankful for many blessings. Thank you, Lord, now for this time again, this day, and then also for Wednesday evening as we look forward. And our Father, once again, thank you for the precious word and the singing of these praises and the hearing of your word through our brother this morning as he ministers to us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing some more before we introduce our brother and have him minister the word to us, and also a DVD that he has. And I'd like us to sing Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. It's number 53.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. Put no confidence in princes, nor for help on men depend. He shall die to dust returning, purposes shall end. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is.
Great privilege that I introduce Joel Serapoli. I'm sorry that I don't know him personally yet, but I have was impressed when I read about him and his situation through our brother Need in West Virginia. Down through the years, Ovid Need has published a paper called The Biblical Examiner, and I've enjoyed him. He takes a good stand, and he's paid a price too for standing for the truth. Like everyone else, we may not agree on every matter, but boy, I sure have not met him, but I do love him. You do too, don't you, brother? And so he had in his paper about Joel and his plight, and I said, my word, that can't be. That he has served the Lord for years in India, because missionaries are not allowed in India by any of us. They close the door on anybody except if you're a native missionary. If you're careful, I guess, you can minister the word. But there's a law about him, too. He has to be careful. Or you can put him in jail and a high fine, I think. So he does need prayer and he needs support. And when I heard that 40 churches dropped him for the most part because of his understanding of salvation, the doctrines of grace, and churches that had supported him, Baptist churches, were free will kind of people and were premillennial dispensationalists, and he has not, he has taken a position against such, and so they dropped him. And then on top of that, his transportation, his van, an accident, and he does not have transportation. So I look upon us and say, well, we're not very big, and we're not wealthy people, but despise not the day of small things, and some of us are going to try to let other people know and churches know that maybe we can help him sustain he and his lovely family, wife and four boys. Delight to see those boys. Nice to see girls too. But he has four boys. The oldest is 15. So they need prayer. And he's agreed to be with us for these three services. And I must tell you that I'm a little bit embarrassed. Brother, for the most part, we are Germans in background. There's exceptions. And we do give hugs, but we've not been trained to give the customary Christian kiss. So you excuse me, brother, for not doing that. You will, won't you? But they're accustomed to giving Christian kisses on the cheek. And so you Germans, if you want to, go ahead. And perhaps I will, but I'm sorry. We are to give the brethren a holy kiss. And some of us think that's just a handshake, but I don't agree with that. Really, I don't, biblically. I tell you that because he comes from a different background. I don't know. I usually, the Indians I meet are smaller people. He's 6 foot. And he must be a Himalayan Indian. I'm delighted. And so that God does use stature and so forth for influence. When he speaks, I'm sure that they pay attention. And I'm so delighted that he's doing this. I'm delighted as a missionary. He goes to areas that have not heard about the Lord Jesus, up into the northern mountains of India, presents Jesus Christ to those tribes, and the word of God is powerful and mighty and saves souls, and he stays and teaches them how to have a church in a house. By the way, his sending church, Brother Needs Church, is a pastor's house too. House churches are biblical, in case you don't know it. It was after, 300, about the year 300, we start having these buildings, and I think if you're not careful, churchianity can really hurt the gospel of Jesus Christ. But anyway, that's another point. But I wanted to say this. He goes into these areas in northern India to these tribes. And from what I can gather of them, they're a bunch of outlaws. The government has warned him, I believe, not to go there because it's dangerous to go to such people. But God has blessed him and saved him from a harm. And this business of persecution in India is high. And so we're privileged to hear our brother this morning. And there's a lot more I want to say about him, but you'll get to know him, I trust. Spend some time with him. And open your heart to the matter of missions. And, oh, yes. In our offering box, there is a slot for missions. That all goes to Brother Joel. Remember, he needs, I don't know how much he needs. To get his van back, he needs, would I dare to say, $8,000 or so to get your van back. So he needs money, so I'm telling you right to your face. And as our brother, where did he get that? Give cheerfully and then give beyond that. Who said that to us? Who said that? Okay. Give cheerfully and say, praise the Lord, and then give beyond that. Brother Joe, I hope that you'll soon be able to feel at ease and give the gospel. He tells me he's homesick, and I know what that is, so you understand that. If you will come and give us the precious word, brother, and we'll give an opportunity to ask questions afterwards.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
I'm absolutely so excited to be here. It's so beautiful to meet with my blood relatives. Amen. I believe we're all related through the blood of Jesus Christ. Born of one blood, one family. Brother Walls has been in touch with me for quite some time, and I've fallen in love with him. Brother Coles and Brother Robbins, he writes to me about them, and I've been wanting to see all of you personally for quite some time. And in the Lord's time, things do happen. Yeah. I had planned to be here earlier, but there are some unfortunate things that had happened and delayed my arrival. But this is, I believe, God's time, and we are satisfied with that and happy with that. And it's just wonderful to be with you folks this morning. It's unfortunate that finances play such a big role in our society. Nothing goes on without money. And as a missionary, I don't like to focus on the monetary aspects. I prefer people praying for us more than anything. I believe prayer works, and it is through prayer that God works. And many things do take place through prayer. So when a missionary comes, usually there's a fear, oh, here we go. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here mainly to encourage you folks and let you know about the situation in India, what's going on there. I do have a small video presentation. Shall we watch that and then go into the Word or the Word? Okay, we'll take a few minutes. It's about a 10-minute video. After that, I'll just present the Word.
Thank you.
just to give you a little idea of what we're doing. I wonder if I should give time for questions now or wait for some time.
Would you give the word and then
okay.
We'll have a hymn, and then after the hymn, we'll be open for questions.
Okay, no problem. Well, I hope you enjoyed that video. We'll come back to that after we look into the Word for a few minutes. If you have your Bible with me this morning, kindly turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. If you would kindly stand with me then, as we read the precious Word of God. We'll read verses 10 and 11. There's two verses there, small verses. Numbers 21, 10 and 11. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched in Ijah-Abarim, in the wilderness which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. So we pause for a word of prayer as we stand. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. Lord, a wonderful time where we can, Lord, separate ourselves and, Lord, meditate upon your word. We thank you for loving us, for dying for us, for purchasing us with your own blood, Lord, and I pray that you would sanctify us this morning again. Lord, hide me behind your cross, and Lord, give me your unction that your word may be spoken with clarity, and that, Lord, our lives may be encouraged and we may be edified. Father, we just ask you to bless the meditation of your word and the proclamation of it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This morning, Pastor Robbins asked me what would you be preaching on. I said, well, I want to preach on journeying toward the sun rising. And that's the sentence mentioned here in verse 11, which we would kindly notice that with me again. The first part and the last part. And they journeyed, and the last part says, toward the sun rising. What a wonderful statement that is. What a wonderful, blessed situation to be journeying toward the sun rising. Unfortunately, in this world, people's life is going down. They're journeying toward the sunset. Never to, no hope, no tomorrow. But by God's grace, we have such a wonderful statement here in the Word of God. It tells us that these folks in this Numbers chapter 21 journeyed toward the sun rising. Now, before the journey toward the sun rising, something happened. This is what we need to deal with. Before we journey to the sun, toward the sun rising, there's a situation that takes place. There's a situation that is at hand even now. And that's what is mentioned in the previous verses. Always when we study the Word of God, it's good to study it in context because much is missed out when we forget what's mentioned before it and after it. Some people just like to chop the Word of God in pieces and just take scriptures in out of context and apply it to themselves. That is not the way we are to be. As proper students of the Word, we need to know how to study the scriptures in context. Here, this Numbers chapter 21 deals with a very critical situation that had taken place. We are all familiar with the nation of Israel. I believe the nation of Israel that God intended was actually different to what the political Israel is today that the world is being shown. The people of the scriptures, the name itself is such a wonderful name. If we were to do a historical study in the Bible, we would see that this name Israel was not given to a nation, it was given to a person. And often we forget that. God never intended that name to belong to a nation. He gave it to a single person. And because that person was, unfortunately, his background was not such a good background. He was a supplanter, he was a deceiver. His name was Jacob. Jacob kept running from God, deceiving people, as the Bible says, wicked men, evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is the situation of man when he continues on his own, trying to get all he wants in this life for himself. It's I, me, and myself. That's the society that we live in. And unfortunately, it's embedded in all of us. And that's what Jacob was. Man, by nature, is a faithless, pessimistic creature. And that's unfortunate. And that's what Jacob was. Jacob didn't trust anyone. Jacob couldn't be trusted himself. And he went around deceiving people. And that was his lifestyle. And he thought he was being blessed. Folks, let me be frank. Monetary blessings are not necessarily blessings.
The
world sees Christianity. One of the reasons we have difficulty in preaching the gospel in our country is because to the world, the pagan world thinks that if God is with us, that our life has to be rosy. That is a wrong notion. It's a wrong presumption. Most people today have gotten used to a prosperity kind of gospel. If God is really God and He is really around, then our life needs to be better and we need to, you know, be out of debt and in good health and so on and so forth. To the world, physical blessings are taken as being blessings from God. It's not necessarily so. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross. And you notice the word daily. That's where we don't like it. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. The word cross, unfortunately, has been misunderstood to be a symbol. Folks, it is not a symbol. It's not something we wear on our chains and stick in our Bibles, a piece of cross or something. No. The word cross is a lifestyle. It is something that Christ lived and showed us. The word cross is often misconstrued as being an indication of suffering. But let me tell you, the word cross includes more than just suffering. Suffering is just the beginning of the Christian journey. The word cross goes all the way up to death. There's not just, Jesus just didn't suffer on the cross, He died on the cross, lest we forget. Many people think this, the cross is just all about suffering. It is more than suffering, it is dying. And this is where the crux of the matter is. This is where humans or human nature detests the things of God. The carnal man cannot understand the things of God. The preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness, because the gospel is all about death, dying to self. Paul says that in the book of 1 Corinthians, I die daily. You see, take up your cross daily. Paul says, I die daily. It's more than just suffering. It's about dying. And this is what Jacob was all about. Jacob was all about himself. Me, I, me, myself, living. Until he came to the day when he died. He had to put an end to self. That's when God gave him that higher title called the Prince of God. Or rather, God rules. The name Israel, in Hebrew, the literal translation would be, God rules. It's no more Jacob ruling here, it is God ruling. And so the name originally was given to a single person to show what he was and what he became. He used to be a man self-ruled. And here he became a man who is now ruled by God. And as the days progressed, we know the lineage of Jacob took on the name Israel, and they were called the children of Israel, as the Bible refers to them. And ultimately they came to be known as the nation of Israel. And here we see the nation of Israel, which was enslaved in Egypt. You see, nobody took them there. They went there by themselves. We often forget how they ended up in Egypt. Nobody took them there. They went there by themselves. And they became in bondage or enslaved in Egypt. And by God's grace, He chose to bring them out. It's amazing the election of God, how wonderful and awesome it is. I always look at my fellow citizens in India, and I think to myself, Lord, any one of these guys could be, you know, one of your children and serving you. Why me? Why me? And I think that's because God wants to humble us. The election of God should make us realize how humble, how unworthy we are to receive the grace that we have. And when I see my people in India perishing, some of the pictures that you've seen, those people there that were burning those things, that actually took place. That some of our men, as they went to witness in a town, they pulled all the Bibles and tracts and they burned them right on the streets right there. How can you preach the gospel of peace to these people? How can you love these people? It is a tough thing. But by God's grace, we would be the same. If it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't be here this morning meeting you fine people and explaining to you the things of God. Man, by nature, is an inherently evil creature. And this is something that we must come to terms with. This is something that Israel did not come to terms with. They thought to themselves, that's pretty good, that God chose them because they were some good guys. And John the Baptist put it straight. He said, you know, think not to say to yourself that you are the seed of Abraham. For God is able to raise unto Himself seed out of these stones, he said. And we forget that. We forget that by the grace of God, we are who we are and where we are. See, folks, oftentimes I think we've found a scapegoat called the devil or Satan to blame all of our inconsistencies and our wickedness on. But the Bible, Jesus came, I really love this. The reason the Lord Jesus came is to clarify some things, not just some things, everything. He came to make clear some misunderstandings. Oftentimes, this ascribing evil to an evil force outside of man is where paganism is still in the darkness. Jesus said, Jesus ascribed all evil to the heart of man. Mark chapter 7, clearly. Let me go to the Gospel of John, 8 chapter verse 44. He said, you're of your father the devil, for he was a liar from the beginning and a murderer. Now, if you go to the book of Mark chapter 7 and you notice the scriptures there, it says, murders and thefts and deceit, which is lying, they all come from the heart of man. There was an issue of the disciples eating with unwashing hands. And the Pharisees, of course, as their nature was, they constantly slandered. They wanted to accuse the Lord, saying, well, look at your disciples. They're eating with unwashing hands. The Lord said, not that which goes in that defiles the man, but that which comes out of the man. That is what defiles the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, fornications, adulteries, evil things, all deceit, malice, everything the Lord ascribed to the heart of man. That's why the book of Jeremiah tells us the heart of man is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. The Bible constantly points to the source of wickedness as being here. Genesis chapter 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The inclination of his thought was evil always, continually. Triple emphasis. Not double, triple emphasis. Evil always, continually. May God help us realize what we are. God made man an intellectual being, but that intellect, man has taken the wrong way. And now he uses his own vices, as the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote there. God made man upright, but man came up with many inventions, he said. The philosophies of man, the theories of man, the opinions of man, they don't matter. And may God help us to realize where we are sidestepping many times. There's a problem inside. That's what happened in Numbers chapter 21. There was a problem inside. Let me just back up a few verses, please. And let me read verse 4, Numbers 21:4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea. Life is a journey, folks. Life is a journey. We might be sitting here, but we are walking or running. Our mind is racing. Our life is journeying. There is no turning back. We're just going forward. But unfortunately, not all are headed the same direction. And so they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. God's ways and man's ways are different. God was taking them his route, and these people did not like it. And that's where we fall out. That's where we get discouraged. And that's why the book of Romans chapter 8 tells us clearly that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Folks, the arch enemy of God, as much as, you know, we might not think it, is man. The Bible points us to that. The arch enemy of God is man. Man is in war with God. It's not God against the devil and man being, you know, we're cheering one side or the other. No, it's us against him. He is righteous, we are wicked. He is right, we are wrong. His ways and our ways. That's why he said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heaven is from the earth, so far are my ways removed from your ways. God is addressing man here. And don't take me wrong. You know, I want you to understand, many times we find a scapegoat and an escape. The world has done that. They want an escape. It's not really, man is really good. It's just this outside force that makes him do things. No, there's something inside. We look at a little baby, we think how cute, how innocent, how nice, and you know. But folks, inside there is a seed. That seed just hasn't budded and blossomed yet. We look at the baby and it's so joyful to have babies. But folks, man, the condition that we're in, the depravity, so unfortunate. So here we see these people, they were discouraged by the way. And you notice the next statement, it says, and the people spake against God. Man against God. Not God against man against God. Thank God, God is not against us. God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you see, people speak against God. And this is where the judgment came swiftly. The Bible declares clearly, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Man sows, man reaps. And here they sowed and they reaped. What was that they reaped? It says, God sent among them fiery serpents. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 7. Let me go back up to verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. You see, these people didn't journey toward the sun, nor did they see tomorrow. Their journey ended today. And Hebrews chapter 3 tells us that most of them that came out did not enter the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief. They did not enter the place of rest because of their unbelief. And this is the natural instinct of man, faithlessness. As much as religion is espoused in this world, religion and atheism, in my understanding, stand on the same plane. One is just as faithless as the other. The guy might be religious and say, I believe God, but his religion is actually an expression of his faithlessness. An atheist is an outright, outspoken, faithless creature. But here we have people hiding behind religion saying, well, I believe God, but just as faithless. And this is the problem with religion. May God help us not to be influenced by religion. Christianity is not a religion. Jesus Christ never came to establish any religion. He came to show us the truth. Until Christ came, there was no revelation of God. May we understand that. The importance of that statement. Until Jesus came, there was no understanding of God. Because the book of Hebrews tells us that He is the express image of God.
Yes.
The express image of God. That's why he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. People accuse him saying, well, he never said he's God. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He's the express image of God. And I want you all folks to have one of my prayer cards. I mentioned on this, 2 Corinthians 4, for the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God? Christ is the image of God. As much as man was made in the image of God, as we would like to think, the express image of God is only Jesus Christ. No man had seen the Father. Only the Son, which descended from the Father. We forget these verses often. John chapter 3, I'm quoting. Jesus Christ clearly mentioned, no man ever ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man. And we have concocted theories thinking, well, there are people who went to heaven before Christ. Where? No way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man ever ascended unto heaven or unto the Father, except the one who came down. He came down so we could ascend, so we could journey toward the sun rising. May God help us to understand that. Book of Acts is such a beautiful book. Book of Acts contains some of the greatest sermons ever preached. The New Testament contains some great sermons. I usually don't like to preach, I just like to read the sermons in the Bible. Sermon on the Mount is one of the greatest sermons ever graced this earth. But Paul on Mars Hill made it clear to those Grecians. Greece, Hellenism, has been around so long, every religion is influenced by it, even Christianity. Hellenism went down into Romanism, Romanism came down into Christianity. And much of our faith today is not sound because of so much Hellenism which exists in our mind. May God help us to understand the word more clearly and precisely. To understand what the will of God is. And Paul clearly mentioned there on Mars Hill to the people sitting there, the Grecians there. He told them that there were times of ignorance that God winked at them. See, God allowed man to live in ignorance so he would understand the fallacy of his ways, his shortcoming. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Paul goes on here in Acts chapter 17. That's where I'm quoting from. Acts 17 verse 31. He says, but God who winked at the times of ignorance now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Until Christ came, there might have been an excuse for people to be ignorant. But no more. The revelation of God, the complete revelation of God, Jesus Christ, has come. And through him salvation has been proclaimed, declared, given to man. And God, help us that we understand these facts that the Bible sets forth. And here we see these people were bitten by serpents because of their sin. They rebelled against God. They spoke against God. Judgment of God came upon them. And it says, most of them of Israel, that much people of Israel died. I quote, much people. Of course, we know the biblical record that ultimately only two people who came out of Egypt reached the promised land. The others were all the people who were born along the way in the journey. This is the condition of man, folks. That's why the Bible says, today if thou wilt hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. That's Hebrews chapter 3 again. We need to deal with today. Before we talk about journeying toward the sun rising, before we talk about tomorrow, Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. The tomorrow, the sun rising, the journey, everything added to us. Why? Because we deal with today. He said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for tomorrow. Think about today. Are we at peace with God? How is our heart? Has our heart been converted? Have we come in an attitude of repentance? Have we understood our rebellion, our wickedness, our evil nature? How quickly our mind can dominate the Spirit of Christ? How quickly we can take the reins to ourselves and say, I'm going to take charge of my life. May God help us that we surrender to Him, that He be the one in control of our life. Because anyone who doesn't deal with his condition, the Bible tells us that it's ruined. You notice here that they were bitten, much people died. But thank God, God always has an antidote. Amen? God has an antidote. He told Moses, make thee a serpent and lift it up. And anyone who looks to that serpent, they can be healed. And Moses made a brazen serpent and raised it up in the wilderness. And people who looked at the serpent, they were healed quickly, instantly. And those are the people that it's talking about. Verse 11 applies to the people who came out of the fiery serpent experience. Numbers 21:11, the one we read at the beginning. And they journeyed toward the sun rising. These people who journeyed toward the sun rising came through a terrible experience. They had been bitten. But thank God they looked toward that serpent that was placed on a cross and raised, or on a rod, rather. And that's the same thing Jesus said in John chapter 3. He said, John chapter 12, said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. As Moses raised up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Folks, we live in a day when the Son of Man has been lifted. And the Son of Man, we need to understand that, and we need to look to Him. We need to, only He is our Savior. Only He is our antidote. Only His righteousness qualifies us before God. Amen. Nothing that I do, say, or be will ever qualify me before God. It is He and He alone. Christ, my righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. What a wonderful statement. To even say that just makes my heart warm. Not my righteousness, Lord, but Thy righteousness. And that's what we need to be dressed with. May God help us. May we pay attention to these few words that have been shared here this morning. That we have a journey. Our journey must be toward the sun rising. Life is a journey. Everybody's on a journey. Pagans, heathens, unbelievers, and we who claim to be the children of God. All of us are on a journey. Life is a journey. But may God help us to make sure that our journey is toward the sun rising. Because that's the blessed journey. The journey toward the sun rising. And the sun rising is Jesus Christ Himself. As the Apostle Peter put it, he said, the day star arising in your heart. Jesus Christ is the day star. I'm the bright and the morning star, he said. He's our dawn. He's our bright light. Hebrews chapter 12 encourages us. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, what a wonderful verse. Let me just read that for you, please. And let me conclude with a couple of thoughts. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Amazing, isn't it? How sin can easily beset us. It doesn't take big sins. It's not adultery and drunkenness or something. It could be just envy in our heart.
Yes.
It could be the smallest things. Most sins are not obvious. Most sins are those little foxes that run in the, you know what I'm talking about, in the vineyard. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. May God help us to have patience. Oh, this is something as children of God we need. The world has become such a place where people are not able to tolerate each other. You know, if any, yesterday Brother Waltz and I were talking on the way up here, how that people split over every little thing. Hair splitting. You don't believe my way, so you know, out you go. No, may God help us to have patience with one another. That's yes. The virtue of Christ. He was patient. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen and amen. He is there. He is there. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that's why we're able to overcome through his power and glory. His help. He is our aid. We could not overcome sin on our own. Lest we misunderstand. Many times we might think, well, I can overcome this anytime I want. No, you won't. No, you won't. You've heard it said before. Sin will take you longer than you want to go, or further than you want to go, and keep you longer than you want to stay. If you take the reins in your own hand. But let us submit to God. Let him be our author and the finisher of our faith, as the Bible says. Let this one verse in Numbers chapter 21, we read verse 11, as they journeyed toward the sun rising. You notice another sweet verse here in Numbers 21, in verse 17. Then Israel sang this song. I love that. Small statements in the Bible sometimes are so beautiful.
Yes.
How could they sing? Because they journeyed toward the sun rising. If they hadn't come through that experience, there would have been no song in their mouth. If my life did not come through what it has come through, I could not sing to the Lord. The book of Revelation tells us that they sang a new song. Folks, may God fill our hearts with song. What a wonderful joy it is to journey toward the sun rising. What were we? What experience we came through? Now, by God's grace, we have been able to look at the one who has been raised up on the cross. And through him, salvation has been become ours. And now we need to sing with patience, run the race that is set before us. May God help you. Please.
Let us do that. Let us sing, please. 430. I lay my sins on Jesus. I can tell you this. He is indeed a missionary. As I understand missionary, his heart is to present the Lord Jesus in the matter of salvation. And I think this hymn number 430 is a precious hymn. And I think it's good for all of us. Will you sing it with me? I lay my sins on Jesus.
My soul redeemed, I lay my grief.
prayer and benediction.
I long to be like Jesus, becoming holy one. I long to be like Jesus, the Father's holy child. I long to be with Jesus amid the heavenly throne, to sing with saints his praises, to learn the angel's song.
Are you glad that you've come this morning to sing praises, read the scripture, and to hear the explanation and expounding of this precious word of God through our brother?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now I want us to have the benediction, but I do want to say this. We'll have lunch in a good time, and so I'm going to also pray that the Lord will receive our thanks for the food, and after they arrange the room, we'll have lunch together, and I'm looking forward to talking to each of you. So let's first have some prayer. We've been privileged, Lord, and under your goodness and your providence, to have this time together. We've sensed your presence and expounding of the word preciousness, and our favor, to be favored with such teaching. Thank you for Brother Joel. We ask for your further blessing upon him, his wife, family, and ministry. And as we have the occasion to eat together by each other in fellowship, you've given us not only the privilege of enjoying one another, but to enjoy that which you have provided for us in food. Thank you for the ladies in preparing it. And we ask that it might be indeed appreciated and enjoyed. And as we think of the ladies, we also understand that this is a day that is to think upon mothers, and we're thankful for our mothers and what they have done for us. Through your greatness and your goodness, you've given us mothers. Thank you for them. And now, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins and that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Let's hear a closing postlude, and then we're going to give opportunity, brother. Please be seated. We're going to give opportunity for you to have any questions concerning the message this morning, and also, Brother Joel, any question you might have before we have lunch here. So may we in quietness meditate upon what we've experienced this morning as our brother plays a postlude. Amen. And this now ends the worship service. We open it up to questions, and we do this with the understanding that you ladies can participate in the questioning because he's no longer in the worship service. And so, brother, if it's all right with you, ask questions if you would. Any of you would like to ask questions? And we're going to do this regularly every service with our brother. So, you know something? It's funny how we are constructed, but my heart just went out to that little baby. If I'd have been there, they probably would have had me in jail. I would have kicked that thing. And they let that cobra, they worshiped the cobra, and let that cobra bite that little baby, put that baby there before the cobra. Maybe you tell us, what in the world is wrong they do that?
There's a festival called Naga Panchami, meaning it's a festival of the snake, and they bring snakes from all over India. And the town where they have this festival is full of snakes. And they believe that because of their faithfulness to their religion, that their God will protect them from any harm. And so they place babies in front of cobras just as a prior, obnoxious act, actually.
Well, we have something like that down in the south, the Appalachia, but putting little babies, I mean, if they want to do that to the adults, let them do it, but... And I really don't mean that either, but for our little innocent babies, and hey, that's, phew, oh, come on.
Is the cobra poisonous?
Oh.
One of the most venomous in the whole world.
I would be given to understand that maybe that would be the finish of those little babies. I don't know, but my understanding, huh?
Yeah, that is a poisonous, a venomous snake that they put the baby in front of. They didn't take the sacks out.
They surely need the gospel, so you'll pray, won't you? And by the way, let me give a little nudge. You'll be going home in plenty of time, though don't hurry away. But you could call on the phone and have folk come this evening and hear again a message from the Word of God. And maybe you'd even show this again. I'd like to see it again. Would you like to see it again? Maybe show that again tonight, if you will, please. Go ahead. Any further questions?
There's another little video behind that video of the kind of persecution that's going on in India right now.
You have more?
Another 4-minute video. That's a separate segment, just about a report of how the persecution scene in India.
Oh, I think we should have that.
Yes, I think that could be touching.
That led into a question. I wonder, what other than the Bible burning, was there other forms of persecution?
Last year I had written in one of my reports. Yeah. November, one of our churches in Chhattisgarh, they were attacked by 40 mobsters. And by God's grace, somebody had a cell phone and they immediately called the police. The police came and disrupted the scene before much damage was done. It was just a terrible case. And the police told them never to gather in their house again. So they're having a problem gathering right now, our believers there.
And then I understand at least 200 Christians have been killed in what, in 2006 to now, or how?
Yes, over the past 2 years.
200 Christians
have been killed.
How many?
8 pastors.
So,
brother, you mentioned the influence of Hellenistic thought on Catholicism, but also its corruption even in Christian doctrine. We tend to think usually of Hinduism as an Eastern, Near Eastern type philosophy. Isn't it true that Hellenistic thought too is Near Eastern in its origin?
That's right. Well, Hinduism is a product of Aryanism. When Alexander the Great came, he kind of captured India. The Aryans brought their books in. So Hinduism is a mixture of Aryan thought. And so all the gods that the Hindus worship, you'll see the same thing even in Greek mythology. Greek mythology is polytheistic. Hindus believe in a god called Hanuman, and they show him of great strength, and the Greeks believed in Hercules as a god of strength, so a lot of similarities.
And it is becoming quite a force in our country, Hinduism. And I think if you just read the newspaper and hear the news, you'll see that that's a true statement. So we need men like Joel that'll preach the Word of God, preach Christ, the gospel. Yes, please.
You said many there's many hundred or thousands of languages, did you say?
Yes, ma'am. There
are. How many are, is the scriptures in many of these languages?
Actually, by God's grace, I translated the Bible into Telugu, which is my mother tongue.
Wonderful.
Yes, sir. It was published by Trinitarian Bible Society in London, England. In 2001 that was published. Of course, we just did the New Testament part, but it has been a great tool in helping people. And there's much translation to be done. Most of the tribes that we reach don't even have a script for their language. So to educate them, we have to develop a script for them too. There's a lot of work that we do, actually.
You know, I'm delighted to hear that. I did understand you did some translation, but I didn't know you did the New Testament. But I immediately think of William Carey, the Baptist missionary to India. You apparently, he'd be pleased to hear. He's your hero.
One of my heroes.
And Judy, we do have in the library The Life of William Carey. So if you want to read a delightful, I don't know, he's... When I say delightful, I have to qualify that because he had all kinds of problems. But God used William Carey in India. But if you approach Judy, I think she could find that book in our library. Have you any other questions at the moment?
There's a small movie about William Carey called Candle in the Dark.
Do you know who has...
I probably have it on my laptop.
Do you? I would like to see that. I must tell you, I have in mission class we studied William Carey, and I have a real love for William Carey, missionary to India.
The government released a stamp in his honor in
1998,
marking the 200-year anniversary of William Carey coming to India.
Isn't that wonderful? I wanted to have a flag. I hear that you might see the flag of India, the three colors, representing the three religions, basically. But I'll let you tell them. Go ahead, brother.
As you had seen in the presentation, orange, white, and green, each representing a religion. Orange represents the Hindus, the white for the Christians, and the green for Muslims. These are the major religions in India. So India is made up of these three.
But they... The other two have been fighting Christianity.
Yes.
You
know, the white is in the middle, so they're...
All right. If you have questions, come tonight. Bring some friends. Right. Let's stay and have...
some cards.
Yes. Yes, and we'll talk more about the cards. But let's enjoy our time together and have lunch together. Yes, amen. Well,